Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those circuses on the air.
When the president does it,
sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning, Dave Schwann.
Well, good morning to you, Mr. Dave Plyer. We are now into May. The countdown begins.
That is, there is a countdown going on. Hey, speaking of countdown and summer, I've really enjoyed your Facebook post on your tours through Route 66.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was 25 years ago. Let's see, May 2nd was Wednesday,
wow.
I think. Yeah, 25 years ago this week, I was indeed on the road and found out that the United States is a big place.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I knew, but it is quite a distance between places as you get out there and further west, but an experience I'll never forget. And as I mentioned, too, in the post, that was the one that kind of put the groundwork down for the trip that my dad and I did. That's going on 9 years now.
Wow, wow. And so much, I will tell you, there's just so much history. We will definitely do a segment on Route 66 as we get into summer, because a lot of people, I mean, they don't have the time, you know, to do the whole thing from like Illinois to California, but you could do segments of it.
You can do pieces of it.
Oh, and do
sure.
A little bit every year. But
sure.
Even traveling through Illinois through Route 66 is a fabulous experience.
Yeah. In fact, that's really remains one of my favorite stretches simply because, you know, a lot of it is still there,
right,
in Illinois.
Yeah.
It's state highways in some places, service roads in others, but the alignment pretty much is still there. And if you really take the original alignment in some places, you're going through small towns. You're actually going through residential neighborhoods in spots.
It's crazy.
You know, when you think about it, you know, way back 90 years ago, a U.S. highway going through residential streets. But that is the case.
That's how it was. And that's
yeah.
how these towns thrived.
But indeed, if you know, you don't have time to do the whole thing, you could do Illinois and into Missouri and make a, you know, maybe a 3-4 day weekend out of it.
I like
perfect.
It. Route 66 with Dave Schwann to come.
Okay.
We'll do that soon.
I'm up for that.
We'll do that soon. One of the first history things I have, Dave, is, you know, do you remember what Disney's Mickey Mouse, what his first short was that he started?
It was Steamboat Willie, I think.
It was.
Yeah.
But there was a short that Mickey Mouse made his first appearance in. He didn't star in it, but it was a character in another short that aired before that short aired. It was called Plain Crazy. Really at the tip of sound coming into pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What, 1931 or
yeah,
so?
Yeah. Yeah. Mickey Mouse, Plain Crazy.
Don't you love the music?
I know, right? Well,
it's great.
Really dates when it was. This was 19, and I think this was 1920s, late 1920s.
Okay, well, around 28, 29.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, yeah. All right, that's enough. All right, now, 1958. Let's get some better music in here.
Jumping ahead.
The Everly Brothers started a 4-week run at number one in the U.S. with All I Have to Do Is Dream. The track was recorded in just 2 takes. My mom always talks about this song as being like one of her high school like dance songs or prom songs or whatever back then. Sure. But they had just...
It'd be a, you know, a nice slow dance song at that time.
I think one Everly brother is still around, right? Didn't one of them pass away some years ago?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 1960, speaking of prom, the first contraceptive pill was made available on the market in 1960.
There's drawing a parallel.
Well, it is prom season. Talk to your children, people. 1970, Ernie Banks hits his 500th home run. And this is my favorite. And it's, you know, to hear Jack make the call, and I'm not quite sure which clip this one is. Oh, no, here it is. Here's the original call. Let's listen to that first. The legendary Jack Brickhouse on Ernie Banks' 500th.
Jarvis fires away. That's a fly ball. Deep to left. Back. Back. That's it. That's it. Hey, he did it. Ernie Banks got number 500. A line drive shot into the seats and left. The ball tossed in the bullpen.
Here comes.
Everybody on your feet. This is it.
I love that. Aha! I love that. I love that. I also love that.
We were so excited in school that day and the next day. That's all we were talking about.
I was three, but I know I was excited about it. But I love that he tells everybody, get on your feet.
Oh, like, right.
Get up. Right. Get up, for God's sake.
I think everybody was by that time.
Oh, of course. You know. Of course.
How exciting would that have been to go to the ball game? It's 499, and you think, today could be the day.
Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Yeah, is it yesterday? Whatever it might be. Here's Jack talking a little bit. It's a little story that he shares about Ernie Banks.
Well, my favorite Cub of all time, of course, is Ernie Banks. I was there for his 500th home run. And Ernie was the kind of a fella who could be so contagious. His enthusiasm was so great. He'd take you along with him. They tell one great story about Ernie over in Dubuque, Iowa, some kind of a fan club wintertime dinner. And this one fella said, my 8-year-old boy is going to be brought over here by my brother pretty soon, and he's a big Ernie Banks fan. And we were at Wrigley Field last 4th of July, and you were playing the Phillies, and you got a home run in that first game. We got lucky. We got good box seats near the dugout, and so, boy, we were really privileged to be near that home run. Now in comes the 8-year-old, and they bring the 8-year-old up to meet Ernie. And Ernie looked at him, and he said, excuse me, but were you at Wrigley Field last July the 4th? I started to get a little, yeah. He said, were you sitting near the dugout? He said, well, yeah. He said, in that first game against the Phillies, when I got a home run, he said, I swear that I got that home run on account of you being there. I said, you know, this kid looks like a good luck charm to me, and I'll bet you I can hit one for him. Well, now, if that boy lives to be 9,000 years old, do you think he'll ever forget Ernie Banks?
That's a great story, isn't it?
It certainly is. That, and it's perfect. And he's absolutely right. You know, to this day, you know, that person would tell that story to anybody who would listen.
It's funny. I only met Jack as a fan. Like, I can't remember what event it was at, but I walked up to him and shook his hand. And you know, it was maybe 95, 96. So it was toward the end of his life. And it's funny that I met Pat Brickhouse at a Bozo Ball for WGN. They used to do that every year to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might have, I don't remember what it was. It was an anniversary for WGN television. Maybe it was the 60th at the time. And Pat sat at her table, and I was just so fascinated and just asked her a million questions about her husband. And then for my 40th birthday, my wife invited her to my birthday party, which was at Wrigley Field. And it was so cool to have Jack's wife there,
yes,
wearing his ring,
right,
and all that other good stuff. I mean,
right.
She's a terrific lady.
Yeah, she certainly is. Yeah. I met Jack. He would come in here from time to time.
Wow.
This would be the late 1980s.
Oh, okay.
And, there was some time they wanted him to record a couple of commercials here. And then, of course, he would come up and visit with Jack Rosenberg and Vince Lloyd.
Oh, that's amazing.
Who were still involved with Tribune Radio Networks at the time.
It's amazing that he retired in 81.
Yeah.
And was still really very present.
That's right. It was 1981. Yes.
But he did a show, I think, after he retired with Harry Carey on Sunday nights. I remember watching it. It was, you know, there's a lot of sports programming on the networks and locally on Sunday nights to kind of recap the weekend. They were one of the first, and it was called Sports Scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how cool it was because it was Jack and Harry together.
Yeah.
At the anchor desk.
Yeah.
Doing that show.
Yeah. I met Pat after Jack passed away.
Yeah.
Doing some things that she was involved with, PR.
Charity.
And I met a lot of great people through her. So I'm indebted to her.
Yeah. Pat Brickhouse. Yep. 1965, SpaghettiOs. The first SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs.
Let's take a listen.
It's the greatest invention since the napkin.
Ooh, that's a little tough audio, so we'll fade that out. But there's your uh-oh SpaghettiOs.
Here's the original jingle, if you care to listen.
Yes.
The neat new spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Da-da-da-da-da. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
That's awesome.
Only at 12 minutes to 5 on Sunday morning can
that's
we get
awesome.
Away with
that. I love that. You know what's funny, too, is I don't buy a lot of canned stuff. I like buying fresh.
No,
I'll buy frozen, right? I mean, sometimes, just as tradition, I'll get some corned beef hashed in a can, like my, my grandmother used to kick open. But the only other thing, we will occasionally buy a can of SpaghettiOs if the kids are like need a quick snack,
yeah,
or something like
just
that.
Just heat that up real quick. You probably, we didn't have microwaves back in the Stone Age.
No, we didn't. The Stone Age. Yeah,
my mother would put that in some sort of a dish and warm it up on the stove.
Yeah, right.
But, I guess you can just microwave it now.
That's true. 1974. This is just a great story. Led Zeppelin attended an Elvis Presley show. Okay. At the Los Angeles Forum in California. And after a shaky start to the show, Elvis stopped the band and jokingly said, "Wait a minute. If we can start again together, fellas, because we've got Led Zeppelin out there, let's try to look like we know what we're doing." And all four members of Zeppelin met with Elvis after the show, spending 2 hours backstage. Elvis asked for the group's autographs for his daughter, Lisa Marie.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. And there's a lot of that. You hear a lot of that, like about other performers coming to see other performers and then hanging out.
Right.
Or maybe even jamming together for a little bit.
The Stones met with Elvis. I believe the Beatles did also.
Yeah, that's right.
John Lennon, I think, certainly was. They were friends.
They were.
They knew each other.
They were.
Yeah.
1981 in history, Pope John Paul II was shot and critically wounded by a Turkish gunman in St. Peter's Square in Vatican City. Let's listen to one of the original news reports.
A terrible quiet fell on the thousands who were gathered at St. Peter's Square at the Vatican today. A shocked quiet. 10,000 or more had come to receive the blessing of Pope John Paul. Instead, amongst the cheering and the peal of bells announcing the arrival of the Pope, they heard gunfire and saw the Pope turn pale and collapse, bloody, into the arms of his aides. Pope John Paul II had been shot. A Turkish terrorist who had threatened to kill the Pope 2 years ago is being held tonight by Italian police.
And you know what? This was just a couple years after he was in Chicago.
And yes, he was here in 79, I think.
Yeah, I was 12, and I went to and I
did
think
you
it was Grant
him?
Park. I went and saw him.
Did you?
Went to a mass. Oh, yeah, that was a big, 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 big
it
deal.
It certainly was.
I still have a coin from that event that I bought.
Keep in mind, too, the May of 81, and when the Pope was shot, was just a couple months after President Reagan was shot.
Oh, that was right.
Yeah.
A lot of chaos in our world.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see here. This is very important. Also in 1981, the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island debuted. How sad is that? They were rescued from Gilligan's Island, which was actually pretty good. And then they came to the second one where they showed they turned the island into a resort that they all ran.
I never saw the rescue from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
I haven't seen it.
It was actually pretty good. I'm trying to think who wasn't in it. I think
Tina
Ginger.
Louise was not into.
Yeah, she did not want
Ginger,
to be.
So
she did reunions on TV shows, but she would never do the movies.
Yeah. Didn't you have Dawn Wells on?
I did have Dawn Wells on. I did.
Played
Marianne.
I did.
I should throw that back out there one of these days. But and who was the other guy? Thurston Howell was played by Jim Backus. And he was up there. Him and Natalie Schaefer were pretty much up there. And I think at some point he had a couple of strokes, but he still appeared in all of them.
Yeah.
But then the jump the shark moment after they did the third movie, the Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island, I had to check out on that one.
Russell Johnson, who played the professor, passed away here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right. I think Marianne is the only one left. And Tina Louise. Don Wells and Tina Louise.
Right, yes. Alan Hale is gone. Bob Denver is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
1988, Mario Andretti records fastest Indianapolis 500. lap at 221 miles per hour.
What year was that?
1988.
88, okay.
Mm-hmm. 1993, two shows ended. Final episode of six-year run of ABC's The Wonder Years, which is one of the best finales of all time and a great show. And also the last broadcast of Cheers on NBC, which, by the way, I attended. I lived in New York at that time, and I drove to Boston on the and went outside the Bull and Finch, I think is what the bar was, the visual bar was outside in Boston that they shot all the exterior scenes. And there was stands up there, and we watched the finale on screens.
Oh, how cool is that?
And then
that?
Jay Leno did a live broadcast from there with the cast.
That's neat.
I still have a poster from that. How about some normisms?
Afternoon, everybody.
Norman?
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. Afternoon, everybody.
Norm! Hey, Mr. Peterson, Jack Frost nipping at your nose?
Yeah, I always get Joe Beer nipping at my liver, huh? Afternoon, everybody.
Norm! Hey, how's life treating you there, Norm?
Beats me. And it kicks me and leaves me for dead. Afternoon, everybody.
Norm! Hey, Mr. Peterson, got room for a beer?
No, but I am willing to add on. Evening, everybody.
Norm! What's shaking, Mr. Peterson?
What isn't? Evening, everybody.
Norm! Hey, so what's going down now?
My blood alcohol level. Sides, do your work. Morning, everyone.
Hey! What are you up to, Norm?
My ideal weight if I were 11 feet tall. Afternoon, everybody. Hey!
What'd you like, Norm?
A reason to live. Ooh. Keep them coming. Afternoon, everybody. Afternoon, everybody.
There you go.
I forgot what he actually did for a living. He was a postman, but I forgot what Norm did.
He was an accountant. I thought he was an accountant.
Yeah, because he always came in with a coat and tie on.
Yep. I think he was an accountant. Always unemployed. He played a Santa at one point in an episode when the times were bad, and then he ended up working for a company where he had to fire people. That's all he did. Classic.
Can't you see him doing that? Well, I got some bad news for you. You're fired. Get out of here.
Well, that's what it was. Well, he ended up being the Grim Reaper. Every time he'd walk into a room, he would just start packing his bags.
Yeah.
It's classic. Absolutely classic.